thank you for listening to the Second Collaboration Mindset podcast brought to you by AAA Physical Therapy, awarded Patient's Choice winner for 2016 with Open Care here at Columbia, Maryland, and with Dragon Digital Radio at Howard Community College. Again, we are streaming live every Friday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m., but you may easily download our podcasts when you want to listen to our program any day, anytime, anywhere. We're also going to showcase this program in our YouTube site, so just kindly search for AAA Physical Therapy and feel free to like our videos there. So now let's move on to our program. As our podcast title suggests, we are here to collaborate with experts in their respective fields. And today, we are blessed to learn from a lawyer who has been in practice over 35 years, who focuses on personal and work injury-related cases and vehicular accidents, whether it's a car, truck, bus, or train. Before we begin learning on what to do when, knock on wood, if you get into a vehicular or personal or work injury-related accident, let me introduce you to attorney Robert Clark. He has a law firm together with attorney Alan Steinhorn, and attorney Clark has his Juris Doctor degree at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Go Tar Heels! And he received his undergraduate degree at University of Maryland, College Park. Go Terps! Now, he was admitted to the bar in Maryland in May of 1981 and the bar of the District of Columbia in May of 1985. As a member of the Trial Lawyers Association of Metropolitan Washington, the Maryland State Bar Association, the District of Columbia Bar Association, and the Prince George's County Bar Association, attorney Clark was a recipient of the Prince George County Bar Association Pro Bono Lawyer of the Year Award, and in the same year was a nominee for the Maryland State Pro Bono Lawyer of the Year. Attorney Clark and attorney Steinhorn are authors of the book, 17 Secrets the Insurance Companies Don't Want You to Know About Your Car or Truck Accident Case. Given that, let us all welcome attorney Clark with our Collaboration Mindset program. How are you doing, attorney Clark?
I'm doing magnificently. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So I know you facilitate numerous seminars and got involved with another program broadcasted through Sirius XM before with Howard University. But what made you do this with our humble program?
You know, one of the things when you represent injured people is that you work in conjunction with lots of different healthcare providers. And I had had very positive experiences with AAA Physical Therapy. They are wonderful at collaborating, which is the subject today. And so I felt it was a unique opportunity and privilege for me to appear on this program and explain some of the background of representing people in these cases, but also to extol the virtues of AAA Physical Therapy.
All right, thank you. That was $1 well spent there. Thank you. Now, our beloved listeners may be wondering, why do we have a lawyer as our first guest in our program? Well, what do you guys got to do with the physical therapy or rehabilitation? And I think he already mentioned that a little bit there. Unfortunately, accidents happen, personal, work, and whether it involves vehicles or not, we unfortunately see patients due to such injuries. If you or your loved ones are part of this, what do you need to do then to protect your rights so you can concentrate on your rehabilitation process? And this is one of the reasons why we have attorney Clark in the program. So, where do you want to begin in relation to an auto accident then?
Well, we have consulted with literally thousands of people through the years attempting to help them both get better and receive fair compensation for their injuries. And it may seem like a relatively simple thing to undertake, but I also see lots of people who have attempted to represent themselves and have found that it is a good deal more complex than you might imagine. There's all kinds of issues of juggling different insurances, and I don't merely mean auto insurances. I'm talking about health insurance, PIP insurance, disability insurance, all manner of different things. And the truth is, if you are knowledgeable about how to coordinate all of those insurances, you can receive the best possible medical care, get a very favorable recovery, and also enhance the amount of money that you ultimately receive as compensation.
Which is rightfully yours, right?
It's part of the American legal system since the founding of our country.
Okay, sounds good. Speaking of insurance companies, so I've read through majority parts of your book here, And I think you've identified there that insurance companies are not necessarily your friends.
I believe there is a chapter in the book entitled Insurance Companies Are Not Your Friend. And I don't mean that in a mean-spirited way. We all have insurance and we all need insurance. But when you are the victim of a crash, they're not out to pay you the maximum amount possible. They're out to pay the minimum amount possible because they have to respond to their shareholders. And if you're in an insurance company that's always paying out large amounts of money, you're not going to be as profitable. And so there is quite literally systematic training of the insurance adjusters to reduce your compensation.
So now you're telling me all of those funny commercials that we see on television with those high-profile spokespeople are apparently are not necessarily your friends.
You know, I have found that they're not like good neighbors. You're not in good hands, and the gecko really isn't your buddy.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you. So again, being that we're a physical therapy practice, in terms of injuries, what do they need to pay attention to when they go into an accident?
One of the things that I encounter regularly, and I think it's just an innate part of being a human being, is you can have an accident and you kind of want to get up and dust yourself off and go on with your normal life, because being injured in a crash or a, you know, any kind of injury is highly disruptive. You can't go to work, you can't take care of your children or your spouse, that sort of thing. And so I often see people who are in bad crashes. And in the immediate aftermath of the crash, they're happy they're alive, and there's an adrenaline rush, and they kind of feel like they're okay. And then an hour or two later, they realize they have significant pain and problems. And so physical therapy is part of the rehabilitative, for me, triad. And when I say triad, I'm talking about hospital, doctor, and therapist. And I really believe that the three things, if coordinated properly, can help somebody tremendously. Because another aspect of it is, if you neglect to get care promptly, then it's simply going to delay your recovery. There are people who immediately see a doctor, immediately get into physical therapy. In my experience, after doing this for 35 years and many thousands of people, is those are the people who get well quicker and get back to work quicker and can resume their normal activities. So in a long-winded answer to your question, physical therapy is one of the main factors in improving people's condition after a crash.
Okay. And I think you mentioned in the book of the importance, and you touched base on it, in terms of the importance of identifying exactly what you're feeling. If you could elaborate on that further.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because, again, hearkening to my earlier example, you're in a crash and you're grateful it's a bad crash and you're happy you survived and that sort of thing. And the police come and an ambulance comes. And very often, people who genuinely need to take the ambulance to the hospital don't want to. They've got to go pick up their child at daycare, or they've got to go to work, or they've got to go relieve their spouse who's been with the kids, or there's many factors. But the point in this whole thing is that there is a tendency to diminish the extent of one's injury in the short term. So just as generalized advice, if one is at the scene of a crash, and it's a significant crash, and one feels symptoms, I always urge the people to go to the hospital in an ambulance because of a variety of things. One, you will be taken seriously. If you arrive at the hospital in an ambulance, they take you more seriously than if your spouse brings you there the next day and you have to wait in the ER all day. Two, they will do an immediate assessment of your condition. So if you have a broken bone or you have some sort of physical structural problem, they are likely to identify it. Another thing that really doesn't play, in my view, into getting better is that when you make a claim for your injuries, if you've been to the hospital in an ambulance, the insurance companies automatically take your case more seriously than if you delay. And very often people have the best intentions for delaying. They can doctor themselves. They can, you know, take ibuprofen or take a hot tub or something. But it just isn't the same thing as immediately documenting all the parts of you that were injured in the aftermath of a crash. Another virtue in going to the hospital is many people, they may have a family doctor, but they don't necessarily have an orthopedic doctor or a neurologist or some sort of specialized physician who is trained to deal with traumatic sequelae from crashes. And so if you don't have such a person, the hospitals will often recommend somebody who has privileges at their hospital to go see within a certain period of time. And that's very helpful. In a similar vein, it then can lead to you getting prompt and effective physical therapy. And one of the things I'm not certain that the public is fully aware of is that when you're in a crash and you hurt your neck or your back or your knee, the bulk of your treatment isn't going to be your physician doing the work. It's going to be your physician working, making recommendations to your physical therapist. And your physical therapist is absolutely vitally important to the hands-on day-to-day getting over the problems that you have. When you see a physical therapist, they don't just take the doctor's word on what problems you had or the hospital's word on what problems you have. They do an independent, detailed assessment, a hands-on assessment to determine what you need and what recommendations would best suit your recovery.
Yes, exactly the point. As a layperson, that's one of the important things that I learned right now in terms of really go to the medical help as much as possible. Because that will determine in terms of the amount of care that you're going to go ahead and get. And I know you touched base on that in terms of how is that related to the insurance companies that we just talked about. So in terms of the insurance companies being able to take your case seriously, and again, that's whether personal work or auto accident, could you go ahead and explain further some of the major points of what insurance company cover?
When you do thousands of these cases, then you're in a position where you can compare the experiences that injured people have. And you have people sometimes who sustain broken bones. And some of them, you know, maybe they go to the hospital, but then they don't follow up and get appropriate and necessary medical care. Others of them follow through and get the care they need. Now, it is better in terms of getting well sooner. And sometimes there are people who neglect to get appropriate care and they're left with permanent injuries. And it's just, as a for example, there are people who have broken bones and typically a physician would set the injury, would set the bones so they knitted together properly. I've had lots of people who didn't bother to go to the doctor, and by the time the doctor saw them, there were two alternatives: re-break the bone, which obviously would be painful and expensive to treat, or have it heal improperly. And so I have seen people who have neglected to get appropriate and timely medical care have permanent injuries when that would not have been the case otherwise. So there's a second component of this analysis, and that is you can have people with identical injuries, one of whom gets necessary care and one of whom doesn't. Well, I can assure you that the liability insurance adjusters, if they look at the identical injury and they see somebody saw a doctor three times and another person saw the doctor, got an MRI, got the diagnostic testing, went to physical therapy, and ultimately saw healthcare providers two dozen times, that person's going to have a better physical recovery and they're going to get more compensation out of their personal injury case. There is a tendency on the part of insurance adjusters and also judges to look at it and say, well, what are your medical expenses? You may have the same injury as another person, but if your medical expenses are $2,000 and you got 2 months of treatment, they're going to give you a small amount of money. If your medical expenses are $10,000 and you went through the full 4 months of treatment and have recovered completely, you are going to recover many times that amount of money. So it's vitally important to document the nature of the injuries you have and get the appropriate care. You will be better off economically, you will be better off physically, and you will be better off emotionally down the road.
Okay, thank you for all of those suggestions of what we need to pay attention to when it comes to those things. Now, it seems like I'm talking more to a doctor more than a lawyer. So why does a lawyer need to be involved then?
If you do this work, and I sort of stumbled accidentally into doing this work at the start of my career, it's something that suited my personality because I like people. I'm an outgoing person. I genuinely care about my clients a great deal, and I've established wonderful relationships with them historically, that I've been doing it long enough now that I'm representing the grandkids and great-grandkids of my original clients. And there's no greater reward than to see somebody and to work with them to get well, to ensure that their care is paid for, and then to get them fair compensation at the end. I do see people who have catastrophic injuries. I've had clients who've been rendered quadriplegic and paraplegic. I've had people who've lost limbs. Obviously, I've represented people in wrongful death cases, and they are tragic things. But I've also seen people with seemingly catastrophic injuries who, through the help of their doctors and physical therapists, and in some cases, occupational therapists as well, have had extraordinary recoveries. And it's very rewarding to see somebody start from absolutely devastating circumstances and recover and get back their life. And so, in answer to your question, you have to learn about medicine in doing this. Mm-hmm. One other sideline that has affected me is that when you do this work, you sometimes see healthcare that is subpar, and that leads to medical malpractice or medical negligence lawsuits. And if you're doing something, and I'll just throw out an example, undiagnosed kidney cancer. Kidney cancer is deadly when it is not encapsulated or kept in the area of the kidney. If it metastasizes or moves elsewhere, it has a high liability for killing you. And it's an awful thing, but there are doctors who simply miss something like that. There's an abdominal x-ray because you broke a rib in a car crash, and it shows this kidney cancer, and for whatever reason, their focus is on the broken bone and not on the existence of this cancer. They don't tell the patient doesn't get any care for it, and several years later, the cancer is metastasized and moved. Well, in order to pursue such a case, even if it sounds straightforward, you have to learn a lot of the medicine. So I've had to learn a great deal about medicine, which is useful in my own life and the life of my family members. But that's a long-winded answer to your question.
No, that's fine. And so given that, so again, if we get into an accident, whether it's through work or just personal or, again, auto accident, so aside from documenting all of the things that I should be, that I have felt, and again, get the appropriate medical care as soon as possible with the right people, the next few steps as well is to go ahead and touch base with a lawyer regarding this.
Absolutely. I mean, there are people who, for whatever reason, mistrust lawyers. Some people have had negative experiences with lawyers in the past. Sometimes the public dialogue on lawyers is not very positive. But the kind of cases that we do, personal injury cases, are uniformly done by all the lawyers in Maryland and the District of Columbia on what we call a contingency fee basis, which is to say, if you don't get money, the lawyer doesn't get paid. There's some variability about the rates at which they get paid. But my point in all of this is that you get in a crash, you can find a lawyer and talk to a lawyer, and you will not be charged anything. And you may don't have to hire that lawyer. There are some lawyers who say, I won't see you unless you pay me a certain amount of money or you hire me. That is not how Clark and Steinhorn works. And in fairness, that's not how the bulk of the law firms work. So one of the reasons it is important to talk to a lawyer, I would prioritize, obviously, your medical treatment first. But in gaining an understanding of how you're going to pay for the medical care, a lawyer can be extremely helpful. Also, such things as getting paid for your time lost from work. That is something that lawyers are very good at coming up with creative ways to ensure that you can pay your rent or pay your mortgage and that kind of stuff going forward. Another aspect of it is, it harkens back to what you mentioned about the insurance companies are not your friends, is they are genuinely trained to talk to people who are unrepresented and to say to them, how are you doing today, Mr. Jones? And, you know, the typical response for most people in trying to be congenial is, I'm doing fine. Well, if you have a broken leg, you're not really doing fine. You're just being polite, or maybe you feel better that day, or maybe you're on a medication that makes you feel better. But you may hear later in the case, well, you told the adjuster a week after the crash you were doing fine. How can you possibly have a permanent injury now a year later? And they will try and use those things against you in court and in negotiations. So lawyers also serve a vital purpose, and that is that they become your mouthpiece. If you're in a crash, you don't really want to be talking to the adjuster every day when you're on painkillers. You want somebody else who can objectively and knowledgeably say, well, he's in physical therapy now. We anticipate it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks. We know he's going to need an MRI and that sort of thing. And that's something that your average accident victim is not sophisticated enough and has not been trained to do. We have been trained to do this. I've been doing it for 35 years. I've established wonderful relationships with lots of insurance companies with whom I fight like cats. But, you know, I can tell them things and they know they can rely on it. And it is very helpful to my client. So it is really important to talk to a lawyer to ensure that your care is appropriate, that you get the right care from the right care providers, that the care is paid for, that your lost time from work is paid for, and that you receive full and fair compensation when the case is over.
And the two main points I want to go ahead and take away there is that with our years of experience in our clinic is that initially we didn't know that lawyers will get paid. They're not paid up front. Because in the first few stages of our clinic, when we have these accidents, one of the main concerns that they have is that, oh, do I have to pay them first? I don't have money, I don't have the time, I don't have the energy to talk to another person. And the second point that I want to highlight is what you said. If you're in painkillers, you're dealing with your own rehabilitation process, how else can you go ahead and respond to all the necessary paperwork? And I think that's where, again, the lawyer could go ahead and help out tremendously.
Absolutely.
So that's in terms of a patient or a person suffering from an accident. Why would physical therapy clinics then or medical practices would want to work with lawyers as well?
Well, there's a variety of reasons. First of all, in significant crashes, most people have a lawyer. So I'm not sure physical therapists or healthcare providers have much choice but to work with lawyers. I will say, in my experience and talking to lots of healthcare providers and in some instances representing them, they always prefer to have lawyers who are straightforward with them, who return their calls, who communicate with them, and who ensure that the patient is getting appropriate care. There are many, many lawyers who say they handle these cases effectively. And I know quite a few who do, but I also encounter many instances where lawyers want the case, but then don't really know what to do and don't want to take responsibility for things. So just as a for example, a physical therapist may encounter someone who doesn't have health insurance and who doesn't have PIP insurance on their policy, and they want to help that person get well, but they're like, how are we going to get paid? Because we all do this, you know, so we can support our families. And a lawyer who is experienced in this can find many ways to work constructively with healthcare providers, including physical therapists, to ensure that the patient gets their care and that the therapist gets paid in the end. In some instances, there are agreements that the physical therapist will be paid out of the settlement, that sort of thing. There's also circumstances where people have Medicare or Medicaid. And in my experience, there are quite a number of physical therapy companies that don't take Medicare or Medicaid. And that really is unfortunate, I think, for the physical therapy company because there's an awful lot of patients who would benefit from their skills. And it's even more unfortunate for my clients and other injured people who can't get the care that they so much need.
So again, as I mentioned earlier, you published this book about 17 secrets about insurance companies. Care to provide a teaser on some of those secrets then?
There's an awful lot there.
I know there
is. I would recommend that people go to our website, which is maryland-law.com, and pick up a free copy. But in essence, what I describe in the book, there's little stories or vignettes about what happens to people. And they're kind of things I've alluded to in this conversation previously, that at the beginning of a case, the insurance companies know that the crash has happened and they contact you immediately. They're a little bit like vultures. And the insurance companies are very friendly and very nice. And their employees have received extensive training that you are much more likely to get a cheap settlement if you're nice to the person at the start. So for example, State Farm, which is often difficult, Allstate, which is often difficult, will treat you very well with respect to your property damage. They get an adjuster out to look at your car and a rental car and that sort of thing. And they're so nice to you at that stage that their hope is that you will not hire a lawyer and that you will be favorably disposed towards them. And that later in the game, when they offer you $2,000 for a $10,000 case, you'll say yes. And I do think their experience is that that works out. So this is in harmony with the insurance companies aren't your friends, but there's much more to it. It's that they're trained to kind of schmooze you and make you feel good about them, like they are your good neighbor, with the hopes that later you will have compromised your claim by not getting a lawyer, by not getting appropriate medical care, by not documenting the extent of your injuries, by not taking time off from work that you probably really should have taken to heal. So there are a number of secrets along those lines. Another thing that weighs into all of this is the advent in the insurance industry of them hiring their own lawyers to represent them in cases. And so when I first started doing this 35 years ago, if you were in a crash and you were dissatisfied with the settlement offer, you'd file a lawsuit and the insurance company would have to go out and hire a lawyer and pay that lawyer an hourly rate to represent them. And so there was always a certain amount of money built into a claim that it would be, well, we don't really want to pay you more than $5,000, but we're going to have to pay a lawyer $5,000, so we'll give you $10,000 now, which might be more in the realm of a fair offer. Well, now the insurance companies have hired their own lawyers, and they don't pay them anything other than their salaries. And so the more cases that they pile into the lap of their poor lawyers, you know, the more cost-justified it is. And so any notions that court costs or the expenses of litigation or attorney's fees are somehow going to play into the value of your case has kind of gone by the wayside. In really big cases, in cases of significant injuries, permanent injuries, for the most part, the insurance companies feel obliged to still use outside counsel and to pay them. But it is a variable that existed for probably the first 15 years of my career and has gone away and is no longer even a consideration. So I would say, generally speaking, the 17 secrets focus on the immediate aftermath of a crash and making sure when you're in a crash, all your attention is making sure there isn't anybody else running into you, that nobody's dead, that nobody has a catastrophic injury, that the police are coming. And you don't think about, wow, it would be really good to take some pictures of the extent of the damage to the other vehicles. That if you take pictures of the license tags of other vehicles, witnesses who may leave the scene could later be found. We see cases all the time where the insurance company seems so cooperative, and then one day they suddenly say, we don't think we're responsible, go away. Well, you were in the crash at the scene, there were four other cars there, but you no longer know who is around to be a witness, and you can't preserve that. Similarly, with cell phones, you can take videos. A lot of people are very apologetic after they run a red light and hit you. And if you took a little video of them saying, I'm so sorry, sir, this is all my fault, my insurance company will take care of things, that would have great value later when they change their story and say that you ran the light. In that same sort of vein, there's suggestions about how to make sure you do not have problems later with the insurance company denying your claim.
If you want to know more about our guest speaker and attorney Clark and what they do, you may call his good office at 301-317-1001. Again, that's 301-317-1001. Or go to their website, as mentioned earlier, maryland-law.com. And again, that is maryland-law.com. Now, for our next program, we will collaborate with Dr. Valera Colon and Dr. Nelson from One World Healthcare. Feel free to check their website at one-world-healthcare.com. Aside from the importance of doctors working closely with physical therapists, as identified earlier by Attorney Clark, we will discuss their telehealth program. So if you have any questions that you would like for them to answer, feel free to call us at 443-979-7171. Again, that's 443-979-7171. Or email us at admin@aaaphysicaltherapy.com. Again, we appreciate you listening and downloading our program and sharing this to your loved ones. Brought to you by AAA Physical Therapy and with Dragon Digital Radio at Howard Community College. This is Manuel, your host. We are signing off for now and look forward to have you in our next program. Thank you.